Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Hey, locksmiths. Friend of the show and our Check the Locks Halloween episode co-host Jessica Gomez has written a dark thriller novel called Pieces of You. This creepy but emotional tale of grief, abduction, and murder is Mayor of Easttown meets Psycho, and it's perfect for all of you who love crime stories.
Nora Aberdeen, a grieving college dropout, ventures to a deteriorating small town to meet a blind date. On her drive home, a bloody young woman darts in front of her car, causing Nora to veer off the road and headfirst into a tree. When Nora regains consciousness, the woman is gone. Nora's estranged uncle, a sheriff's deputy, comes calling with information about a growing list of young women turning up dead in the small town of Woodbridge, including the woman who caused Nora's accident. The local police have written the women off as drug overdoses, but suspicious circumstances and the department's ineptitude point to something more nefarious. Unsure if she can trust the only family she has left, Nora tries to uncover the secrets of the missing young women and her connection to them when a strange motive unfurls. Will Nora uncover the truth before the killer claims another victim?
Pieces of You by Jessica Gomez releases October 1st. Pre-order as a hardcover, paperback, or ebook online at Barnes & Noble, Target, Amazon, bookshop.org, or ask your local bookstore to order it for you. Sign up for Jessica's newsletter at writerjessicagomez.com and follow her on Instagram at writerjessicagomez for updates.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks Presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor, saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case. Before we get started with this week's episode, y'all may notice that Olivia is not here with me. This is a solo short on time. I definitely apologize. Olivia is on vacation. She's currently in Chicago, and she had the opportunity to stay a little bit longer. And when you get an opportunity to extend a vacation, enjoy a little extra time off, you have to take it. So she will be back with us on Monday. And I really do appreciate everybody hanging in with me as we go through this solo short on time. But it's a very interesting case, and I think y'all are going to like it. And I think it's going to spark some really good conversation. Also, if y'all listen to this podcast, then you know October is my favorite month of the year. I love horror films. I love Halloween. I love the fall. It's just the best time of the year. This beats Christmas, hands down. And this is our very first case for the month of October 2024. So because of that, I thought I would bring y'all a story that ties together horror films, true crime, really starts the month off with a bang. We're also going to have some really cool stuff coming up this month. Our favorite writer, Jessica Gomez, she's going to be joining us again for our annual episode. You can get her book, Pieces of You, now. Talk about that a little bit later. But again, just really excited for the month and really excited for this very first case. So let's quit with the Gabby Gabby, get to the Stabby Stabby, and jump into this week's short on time case. This week, we're heading across the pond to the United Kingdom. On September 15, 2004, 61-year-old Peter King was out walking his dog with his wife in Hillsea, Portsmouth. Now, again, apologies in advance. Not super familiar with how to pronounce these, so if I slaughter these towns, I am so sorry. If you are listening in the UK, feel free to reach out and let me know what I did wrong, how I can do better, but I am doing the best I can here. So while out on the stroll, the couple came across 24-year-old Daniel Gonzalez. Now, Gonzalez was a troubled young man. He was born in the city of Woking. His parents separated when he was 6 years old, and though he did well in school, his teachers were concerned about some of his behavior. By the age of 17, Gonzalez was being treated by mental health specialists, and as he got older, his behavior became increasingly bizarre. By 24, he was taking drugs and immersing himself in two things that he loved: video games and horror films. His favorite movies? Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th. As he hid away in the bedroom inside his mother's home, Gonzalez formulated a devious plan. He decided that he wanted to know what it felt like to walk in his favorite slasher's shoes. And on that September night, he was ready to put his plan into action. As Peter King and his wife were walking, Gonzalez approached them. Once near, the 24-year-old told the couple that he was going to kill them before lunging at King with a steak knife. Now, luckily, King was able to fight off his attacker and Gonzalez fled into the night, heading to the town of Hove. Once there, Gonzalez donned a hockey mask, sporting the same look as another one of his favorite on-screen killers, Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th. And while in town, Gonzalez spotted 76-year-old Marie Harding walking home. And it was then that he attacked, slashing her throat before stabbing her in the back. Then, leaving the grandmother dead in the street, Gonzalez stole her purse before heading back to his home in Woking. Now, just 2 days later, Gonzalez was again hunting the streets, this time in the town of Tottenham. 46-year-old Kevin Malloy had been out for a drink with a friend. And at around 5:30 a.m., as Kevin was walking the street, Gonzalez attacked, stabbing the man in the face, neck, and torso with a pair of large knives before leaving him for dead on the side of the road. Then, by 7 a.m., Gonzalez had made his way to the home of Comus Constantino. He broke inside and stabbed the man several times. Now again, luckily, Constantino's wife was able to flee from the home and scream for help. And afraid of being caught, Daniel Gonzalez quickly left the home. But his movie-inspired murder spree wasn't over. At 7:30 a.m., covered in blood, Gonzalez walked into a hardware store where he purchased yet another knife. He then walked to a nearby neighborhood in Highgate before selecting a home at random. Inside was an elderly couple, Derek and Jean Robinson. Gonzalez walked to the door and rang the bell. And when the couple answered, the killer forced his way into their home, swinging his knife in a frenzy. Mr. Robinson was stabbed in the face, neck, and abdomen, Mrs. Robinson in the face, neck, and chest, the couple dying from the attack. Gonzalez had now attacked 6 people and killed 4 of them. And after leaving the Robinson home, Gonzalez headed to the subway, or the tube, as it's called in the UK. Once there, he attempted to buy a ticket with a blood-stained 20-euro bill. The police were notified, and Gonzalez was arrested at the station. Later, the home decorator for the Robinsons would identify Gonzalez as the man who had attacked her clients, sharing that she had seen him sprinting from the home on the morning of the 17th. Gonzalez was charged with murder, but before the trial, he was ordered to be held at Broadmoor Hospital. While there, the suspected killer attempted to take his own life, attempting suicide by biting through an artery in his arm. However, his attempt was unsuccessful. Now, later Gonzalez would plead not guilty by reason of insanity, but the judge wasn't buying it, and Gonzalez was given 6 consecutive life sentences. He was again sent to Broadmoor Hospital, where doctors described him as dissociated. But Gonzalez refused to go out quietly. Later, in 2007, Gonzalez successfully completed suicide using a CD case. For the victim's family, the death of Daniel Gonzalez didn't come soon enough. but some hoped that it would help them to move on. Julie Harris, Marie Harding's daughter, said in an interview, "I hope it was a slow and painful death. It is something that I've been hoping for a long time. The hatred towards him never goes away, and there will never be forgiveness. We get so many reminders of the murder, and every little thing brings it all back. I was at the funeral of one of my mom's sisters this morning, and all the pain came back to me. We are still grieving, and don't ever think we will not be." Daniel Gonzalez is no longer alive to take the lives of innocent victims. But, like the movies that inspired him, his crimes will live on forever. So that's this week's case, y'all. And I have to admit, these are some of my favorite types of stories to talk about because I think it ties back to that, do movies, video games, violence on television, things like that, make people more violent? Or are people with mental illness, you know, just more likely to do these types of things and blame the movies and, again, video games, stuff like that for their actions? In my particular case, I definitely think that, you know, Daniel Gonzalez was extremely mentally unwell and that he was going to eventually end up hurting someone regardless. And that these films just kind of, you know, put more ideas into his head, kind of fed the illness. And, you know, again, me personally, as somebody who, you know, watches horror films, Halloween is my favorite time of the year. I watch as many as I can. You know, I'm not someone who's like, oh, I'm going to watch these movies and go out and be violent. And there's millions of people just like me that, you know, it's purely entertainment. So it really does, I think, in my opinion, come down to the mental illness and how not checking those things and getting those things taken care of early can lead to violent behavior like this. But, you know, if you're putting on a hockey mask and saying, like, I'm Jason Voorhees, and, you know, attacking a 76-year-old woman in the street, that is an obvious sign of mental illness. There is definitely something wrong. So while I don't think the films are to blame, I still think that this would be a little higher on my deadbolt test. I'm going to put this probably about a 7. And again, if you've listened to this podcast before, if you've ever heard my ratings, when it comes to the deadbolt test, the randomness aspect is definitely something that really kind of gets under my skin and creeps me out a lot when it comes to these kind of cases. So to think, you know, you're just walking home, right? Or you've been out with a friend having a drink and you're just making your way back to your house. And all of a sudden there is somebody in a hockey mask, you know, with a knife attacking you is absolutely terrifying to me. So for me, I would definitely put this at a 7, but as always, I got to throw it over to my locksmiths, my listeners. Where does the case of Daniel Gonzalez fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at CheckTheLocksPod. You can find us on Twitter at CheckTheLocks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what the heck are you doing? Come hang out with us. We would love to spend some time with you, get to know you. It really is an amazing group of people, and we would love you to be part of that. If you need a cheat code, you can go into the description of the episode you're listening to right now. Click the link. It'll take you right to the Facebook group. You can sign up. We'd love to have you. And as always, if you like what we do here at Check the Locks, you want to help us keep the lights on, support the show financially, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks, get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, a lot of exclusive benefits. You get, you know, coffee mugs, stickers, all sorts of stuff. Plus, you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you want to help us out, keep the show running. That is patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out with us, sharing what we do with your friends and family means just as much, if not more. So if that's you, you're telling people to check out the show, send them links, things like that. Just know that we appreciate that more than we could ever tell you. Again, that's how this podcast is going to grow. You tell people to listen, they tell people to listen, things of that nature. And it's all about that organic grassroots kind of growth. So if you're sharing this, just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever, ever tell you. And finally, like I mentioned earlier, Jessica Gomez is going to be joining us a little bit later this month for our annual Halloween episode. So really, really excited for that. But I also wanted to encourage y'all, her book just dropped on October 1st. And knowing Jessica for a very long time, I know that this is something that she has really poured her heart into. She's been working on it tirelessly forever. It really is a labor of love. And for someone like myself who, you know, we do this podcast every week and we put a lot of effort into it, I know how much work it goes into creating something, and she's amazing at what she does. So I would definitely encourage you, if you like thrillers, if you like crime, mystery, definitely check out her book, Pieces of You. You can buy it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's available everywhere right now. So if you want to check it out, you can buy it from any of those places or go directly to her website. It is writerjessicagomez.com. Again, that's writerjessicagomez.com. Check it out. Get the book. Again, it's awesome. And you'd be supporting somebody, you know, another independent artist who worked really hard to get something incredibly awesome into the world. That is all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks in your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case. But until then, don't forget to check the locks. We'll see you next week.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.